You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Early BP. I'm Mike Theron. Last night, Adam Jones did his best to try and bring the D-backs back.
Five-run seventh inning for Colorado. There's a drive. Deep left field. At the warning track. At the wall. Over the bullpen. Two-run homer Jones. It's 4-3 Atlanta.
Well, Adam made sure that this ball had enough carry to it. That ball was whacked out there.
Jones' homer cut the D-backs' deficit to 4-3, but they could not push across another run despite numerous opportunities in a 5-3 loss to Atlanta, the D-backs' sixth loss in their last eight games. They will welcome in the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight for the first of a three-game set. Robbie Ray makes a start for the D-backs against Nick Kingham, the right-hander for Pittsburgh. We'll talk more about that with Torrey Lovello in just a couple of minutes. But up next, it's Monday, so we get to talk to a member of the front office. Jared Porter will join us, D-backs' assistant general manager, as we talk a little bit about not just this roster, but what's coming up in the June draft.
Let's start a little bit on the big league team. The last 10 days or so, it's been a rough go from the bullpen. What have you seen with that group?
I don't really agree with that. I think we've been in a lot of really close, tight games. In those games, you know, you give up a solo home run, and it hurts a lot more if you're ahead 4-1 and give up a solo home run. So I think the timing has been a little bit off, but, I mean, we had that extra inning game in Tampa, and the bullpen was excellent. Mm-hmm. So I think the bullpen's been fine. I think, you know, to me, it's probably more about continuing to stress the importance of getting runs across the plate when we have, you know, runners in scoring position and, you know, less than two outs.
Yeah, and that certainly has been a case over the last week. I'm curious with the relievers, because you're pretty set in that group. Do you think that helps to give players confidence, knowing that there's not a whole lot of guys that are going to be optioned out, that they're going to get the chance to, if they are pitching right at the peak of their abilities, that they're going to be able to figure it out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, certainly players feeling comfortable, like they have a spot here, always helps, no matter what position they play. I think we've proven to stick with guys. We know it's tough. I mean, it's really hard to pitch in Colorado. It's coming out of there, Tampa Bay is a really good team. Those aren't excuses by any means, and our players would never take those excuses. But, you know, we're aware of the schedule, and there's ups and there's downs. But we're very confident and comfortable with the reliever group that we have.
What have you seen so far with John Duplantier at the big league level?
Yeah, he's been good. You know, he's very mature. He comes up. He for the most part, has thrown strikes, got himself into trouble a little bit a few times, and wiggled out of it. I think the biggest thing with him is we just need him to come out and kind of step on the gas right away. Seemed like yesterday, maybe he came out a little too easy. You know, wasn't really getting to his best stuff until he got into trouble or right away. And sometimes against good major league hitters, as we saw yesterday, it's too late if you don't do it right away. So, we've talked to him about that a little bit, on his way back down. But he's done a really good job for us. You know, he's had some huge outings. Obviously, the one against the Cubs, unfortunately, we didn't win that game, but it was a really good outing for us. And we're very confident to call him up and throw him in really any situation.
Do you think that's an evolution of the way, I guess, teams look at starting pitchers, the way starting pitchers need to look at it? I mean, we hear from a generation ago or two generations ago, hey, kind of eased into your stuff, and now it seems like there's more emphasis on, listen, fire your eight bullets right away.
Probably. I mean, I think, you know, teams are just doing so much more preparation work now. If you don't do that right away, whether you're a hitter or a pitcher, you run the risk of being in trouble. You know, hitters certainly don't come out anymore going easy. They're coming out looking to jack right away from the first pitch. So, yeah, I think if you're not doing that, it does. You can run into problems. You know, there's obviously a balance. You know, if we're asking a guy to throw 60 pitches or start for us, you know, we got to make sure that he's able to carry that for all those pitches. But Dupe, you know, with his physical strength, the way he throws, you know, the baseball, the conditioning, how hard he works, we feel like he can do that. He can come out and give us his best stuff from the first pitch.
How do you have to balance the need for him to pitch when you've needed him at the big league level with the idea of, you know, he, because of illness and because of a couple of call-ups, he hasn't really been stretched out this year. How do you balance that? What are the things that you have to ensure happen for him if he does get called up again and pitch thrown into a role?
Well, it's still pretty early. I mean, for the most part, when he's come up, we've kept him on, like, similar rest to what he'd be getting if he was a starter. I mean, yesterday he threw 56 pitches. Again, the game against the Cubs, he threw a lot of pitches. So I feel like it hasn't been like all short stints up here, which bodes well for being able to stretch him out. You know, I think sending him back down, and the plan will probably be, you know, 60 pitches, 65 pitches, 70 pitches, kind of work his way up outing to outing. But at the same time, like, you know, if there's a chance we have to go to him, bring him up here in a relief role again, we'll do it. You know, I think it is our job to continue to monitor things, which we do, you know, scientifically and physically, with his usage, with his workload. And if at some point we need to kind of make a decision one way or the other, with regards to that based on the usage, then we will. But we're not even close to being there yet. We feel like he's in a good spot physically.
We've heard a lot of talk about the draft. We talked to Amiel last week about it. You know, it's 7 picks in the first 75. Obviously, that looks impressive. If somebody were to come to you who didn't know a whole lot about the draft and said, why is this draft so important for the Diamondbacks, what would your response be?
Well, I think, you know, the way the draft works, you can get good players anywhere throughout the draft, which is great. You know, it's one of the great things with the draft. But I think, you know, you have an opportunity to control – financially control, you know, one of the biggest, probably the biggest event of the year when it comes to player acquisition. Like, we know, you know, we're gonna add 46 or 47 players to our system. The chance to add that many players to our system, we won't sign them all. To me, that's what it is. Like, we have a chance to really hit on a lot of players. The more money you have to spend, the more picks you have early, you know, the better chance you have to bring in impact talent, and just to help add to the depth of our minor league farm system, which is improving. But, you know, it's an area that we need to keep pounding on, whether it's in the draft, through trades, whatever it might be. So that's really it.
What's different this year about the preparation for the draft than in maybe the two previous seasons?
You know, not a lot. It's too different. I mean, maybe we're just we have a few more guys out seeing players than maybe we have in the past. But, you know, ever since, you know, we've all been in Boston together, obviously I was in Chicago for a year and a half, you know, we've always had the mindset of getting as many looks as we possibly can on players over the course of the scouting season, and then kind of, you know, using all that information to collectively come up with the answer on what we think each player is. So all the extra looks really do is just helps us. It adds more looks, you know, to the overall pool of evaluations, and we think, you know, gives us a better chance to make, you know, good evaluations and decisions.
With the desire to compete at the major league level, does that make the draft that much more important for an organization?
I don't think so. I think it's always important no matter what. You know, I think we've always taken that approach. I think the second you start to think that because you're competing at the major league level, the draft isn't as important, you get burned. I mean, there's plenty of organizations that are competing at the highest levels of the major leagues that are doing a great job in the draft year in and year out. And that's where we want to be, you know. And so, no, I don't think so. I do think the fact that we have so many picks this year might make it, you know, more important, just because we have that money to spend. But no, I don't think competing at the major league level and the draft, there's a correlation between that.
D-Bank's assistant general manager, Jared Porter. After the game last night, the D-Bank sent John Duplantier back to AAA Reno. They have recalled Jimmy Scherfey to pitch out of the bullpen today. For more on tonight's series opener against the Pittsburgh Pirates, let's visit with the manager, Torey Lovello.
Torey, I know it sounds like a broken record at this point, but again, after the game, sounded frustrated. It seems like the offense is frustrated. As you like to say, building a lot of innings, just not able to cash it in. So what has to change?
Well, I don't think much has to fundamentally or in any other way. We're building the innings, which is great, number one. And number two, we know we're just going to get that one big hit that's going to cash it in and get that line moving. That's a good mindset. But I think inside of that, we've got to continue working hard and continue teaching these guys that, you know, situational hitting is not easy. There's a plan. There's an art to it. And what that art is waiting for the pitcher you're looking for, not coming off of it until you have to. Get into a trap mentality when you're ahead in the counts and really look for one pitch in one zone and expect good things to happen.
How did you feel like the Godley Duplantier tandem worked yesterday?
I thought it worked pretty good. I know it had certain components of an opener, and we can call it that, but I thought it worked really good. Zach threw the ball extremely well. And then John came in behind him. We wish he would have worked a little bit longer. I think the pitch count early in the outing caused him to get clipped a little shorter, which forced him to go to TJ. When you drum it up, you have about two or three different scenarios. That was probably scenario three. We were hoping to have a lead, maneuvering the bullpen a little bit differently. It didn't work out as the score went, but I thought overall it worked out pretty well.
You talked to Jared Porter earlier on the BP show about Duplantier maybe not getting into high gear right away. Mm-hmm. You come from a generation where starters maybe didn't, at least claim they didn't work at 100% capacity at all times.
Yeah.
Is that a change that you need to work on with him, in that go as long as hard as you can for as long as you can is the mandate that you lay down?
Yeah, I did speak to him about that yesterday when we sent him out. And you know, you're going to have to throw your best pitch from the first one to the last one when you're coming out of the bullpen, and there's no saving anything. And it's up to the manager, everybody built around that decision-making process to determine when it's time to pull you out of the game. So, yeah, he worked into his outing. I think he's typically done that in the past, as all starting pitchers do. Maybe the first couple of batters, they're finding their release point and their velo. But you need to do that in the bullpen before you come onto the mound when you're coming out of the bullpen. So we talked to him about that. There's a strategy to coming out of the bullpen and firing the ball and doing your absolute best from the first pitch and the last pitch. I think he'll make that good adjustment.
You talked this week, too, about needing to get him stretched out. It was with 56 pitches, pitching on a couple days rest after the one-inning outing. Is it safe to say that he's going to go and get a couple of starts at AAA before we see him again, or is it based still on necessity?
Well, obviously it's always based on necessity here. We got to win games at the big league level first and foremost. So if we need somebody that fits the criteria that he's fallen under right now, even though he hasn't been stretched out, we will certainly go and grab him. However, we know that he's one of our best prospects, one of our best young pitching prospects that needs to be stretched out and developed. We'll do that when we can.
A little bit of a change in the lineup today. Christian Walker into the six hole. What went into that?
Yeah, I just figured that we had a little bit of thickness. We had some guys in there. You know, it was Dyson in addition to Flores and in addition to Marte. And I just wanted to give Christian a little bit of a different look behind somebody else. And you know, once in a while, you do little things to just twist and turn to help a moment. I think that's what I was thinking.
With Marte, we've seen some really big performances. We've seen some days where a couple of days in a row, maybe he's gotten out of himself. What's next for him to find that consistent level of play? Because there have been long stretches this year where he's looked like not just the best player on the team, but one of the best players in the division.
I can't agree with you more. For me, when he gets into that mode, he is very dynamic and playing at a very, very high level. And we're going to enjoy that for a long time here. But it's up to us to teach and coach and express to him that you're going to have bad days. And on those bad days, you got to figure out another way to beat somebody. And that's just part of his development and his maturity. And you know, I don't think he takes days off emotionally or physically. I just think some days he doesn't have good performance, and then it shows up again for another day. We need to make sure that we have a short memory, erase things, and go out and make sure and try and make good things happen.
D-backs manager Torrey Lovello. The D-backs take on the Pittsburgh Pirates for the first of three tonight, with Robbie Ray on the mound against Nick King. We went through the one lineup change with Christian Walker moving into the number six spot for the D-backs. Pittsburgh also making a roster move before the game, bringing up former D-back infielder Jake Elmore, ASU product. All right, just a reminder, the BP show airs at 6 o'clock on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and on the D-backs network. You can catch these interviews and more during that half hour ahead of the D-backs and the Pittsburgh Pirates at 6:40 with Greg Schulte and Tom Candiani. We'll talk to you again tomorrow with a little early BP. Thanks for joining us at D-backs.com.